Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Last week, we talked about some things, and we talked about, and I have, by the way, I have a real heart for people staying with the Lord, because I was the guy that had a relationship with the Lord and then fell away and then came back. And so some of what I'm sharing with you is some of the things that helped me to stay when I came back. I did not stay the first time, but I stayed the second time, and I'm still on my second run. We're working on 45 years. I'm staying. It's too late to quit now. But don't ever think that. And a lot of these things that I'm sharing with you tonight are things I still do. So we don't ever get to a place in the kingdom of God or in our walk with the Lord that we're like, I got this. That's a dangerous place when you get to, I got this. It's kind of like someone said, well, we're going to read the Bible. They say, well, I read that. You want to continue. We talked about some things that helped me. Last week, I started right off the bat with make church a priority, not an option. It was just a great time for a woo, I thought, and make it a priority, not an option. If you make it a priority, if you make it by default, then you don't have to make the decision every week. If you just say, we're going. Now, I know this is Wednesday night, and so I know for many of you, there he is. I know that for many of you that this is your church, and this is the church service that you attend, and whether it's this one or Sunday, but you ought to just have it by default. You don't want to come up on Tuesday and then have that big discussion, or Wednesday morning, you're like, are we going tonight? I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. How was last week? It was okay. You're going, we just established that by default in our family, and of course when our kids were younger, we were at Lakewood. That's a long way away, and we did a long drive to Lakewood, even down the Hardy Speedway. It's still a long drive to get there, but it was by default. We did not make that decision every week. It was already set. And if you make one of those decisions that's already set, you don't have to waste a lot of energy remaking it. You just go. This is what we do. And when the children got older, we continued it. And they didn't have an option. They were going to church. And here's a parenting tip. Under your roof, under your rules. Amen. And That sounds very old school, Alan. Yeah, but it works. Because here's the deal. They're going to get out from under your roof, and they're going to be under somebody else's rules, whether it's the government or the companies they work with. So while they're under your roof, it's a great opportunity for you to teach them, for you to help them. This is the kindest environment my kids have ever grown up in, is our house. And so they go through stuff, we can walk through it with them. Y'all not excited about this, I can tell. But this will help you. My roof, my rules. And when they got older and got on their own, begin to do things, obviously there's the freedom that comes there. But while they were with us, they went to church. And I don't regret that at all. And all three of them are still in church. And so, yeah, that's the long game. That's where you want to go. So make church a priority. Second thing we talked about was be aware of offenses that can move you away from God and move you away from church. Say, what do you mean offenses? Well, like what I just said to some of you was offensive. And you just have to make up your mind that, okay, that's offensive, but I'll get over it. Because if you go to church for any length of time, you're going to run across offense. People are going to offend you. People look at you wrong. People, you know, may say something about you. People, you know, I've had a lady one time, she said, I left you because you looked real hard at me. And I'm like, well, you could have passed my right in front of me. I don't even remember looking at her. I just, I mean, I could have had just a really unpleasant thought or a gastronomic, you know, just disturbing. And you go by me and he gave me a hard look. I didn't give you a hard look. I was having a hard time. How's that? But people you can't get so easily offended, because if you're easily offended, you'll be easily moved. And you say, well, I'm going to go to another church. You'll get offended there too. And so you might as well come and be offended with a lot more of your friends right here. Just don't let it move you away from God and move you away from church. And you say, well, Alan, do you ever get over, like where you're never offended again? Yes. When you die and go to heaven is when you get over having opportunities to be offended. It doesn't stop, guys. So you always have to be aware. We were laughing the other day. Joe and I were laughing the other day. She's like, well, are you offended at that? And I'm like, well, yeah, but I'm going to have to get over it. And so it happens, but don't let it stop you. We ended last week when we were talking about live in one world, not two. The Lord talked about come out from among them and be separate. We talked about, you love this part, separating yourself from some stuff. And it got quiet last week too. Because really talking about how do you stay with the Lord, your environment will make a difference. And the people you're around will make a difference. And so at some point in time, you want to begin to live a different life from the life that you left behind. There's a story of a little boy who was sleeping and he fell out of bed. And his parents came up there and he's on the floor, he's crying. And they said, son, how did you fall out of bed? He said, I guess I slept too close to where I got in at. Did you catch that? He slept too close to where he got in the bed. If you're living too close to where you got in, it's easier to fall out. And so you want to make we're talking about staying with the Lord, right? You want to make a clean break. First time I did not make a clean break. I went back. I was in a fraternity. I was partying and I resisted for a while, but I'm going to give you a verse in just a second. You can resist for a while, but daily stuff will wear you down. And so you really want to make some breaks. And I know people say, well, these are my friends or these are people who are close to me. And it's like, you really want to influence them, and a real friend will not keep you away from God. Someone who honors you and respects you will not keep you away from God. And so here's a verse, 2 Peter. This is the verse that's always spoke to me. He said, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. He was talking about Lot living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he tormented his righteous soul by what he saw and heard day after day. Now, I recognize that some of you are in work environments where you can't change that. But this is a real good reason why Wednesday night is here for you, because it gives you a break right in the middle of your week of all those heathen, wild, crazy people that you're around. And that you get to come here and you're like, oh, thank you, Lord. There's people that actually believe in you, because I work with, and I've heard people say, Alan, I need to leave my job because I'm like the only Christian on my job. I'm like, no, you need to stay on your job because you're the only Christian on your job. You're probably the only witness. And you say, well, they're making fun of me. Yeah, but they're going to come find you when all hell breaks loose in their life. And they're going to ask you to pray for them or pray for them because they got loved ones. And so stay. Well, I need to find a Christian company. They don't make Christian companies. There are Christians who run companies, and there are Christians in companies. But listen, the most problem I ever had was when I worked with a bunch of Christians. I ain't lying. I worked with a bunch of Christians, and everyone had a different opinion, and we all had different doctrines. And man, I'm just like, can I just have some good old heathen so I can just share with them? So don't, and I realize, again, some of difficult environments, difficult situations. And if you're the only Christian in your household, boy, please let me encourage you. please come to church. Please find some friends. Please find some people that understand where you're coming from and can help you and relate to you and can encourage you. Because if you're in that environment, it'll wear you down day after day. Now, here's another thing. Things that we consume, things that we put into our spirit, into our soul, you got to be careful of those too, guys. I know some of you are clean eaters. You know, if you're a clean eater, you know exactly who you are. There are things that you hear people, they like, sugar is the devil. I don't believe that, but anyway, a clean eater eats certain things and they won't eat anything else. Why? They're very conscious of what they put in their bodies. And that's fine. I mean, for health reasons, for longevity reasons, that's a great idea. But we ought to be even more conscious of what we put in our souls, in our spirits. And there are things, the internet is wonderful, but the internet also is a two-edged sword because it's got some junk in there that will absolutely torment your righteous soul. And so I don't have to go into detail on that. We all know what I'm talking about. But it will hurt you, it will dull you, it will have an effect. And so your environment, don't try to live in two worlds. Make a clean break. And man, we have people here, there's groups here, things you can get involved in. And if you're not on a serving team and you'd like to serve, you say, well, you're just trying to get people to serve. There's two advantages to serving. One, it blesses the church, but two, it blesses you because it gives you a group of people that you can do things with. I say that's how I stayed in church, is someone walked up to me about 3 weeks in, said, at Lakewood, said, you look like you would make a good usher. And my ego at 22 just really responded to that. I'm like, yeah, I would make a really good usher. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was an usher there for a while. So it helped me. Here's another one. Now, this is again, how do you stay with the Lord? Place a high valuation on God's word. I'm going to say that one again. Place a high valuation on God's word. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12. Says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's living and powerful. Living and powerful. That's the reason you can read the Bible over and over again and not get tired of it, because it's alive. It's a living document. It's not an ancient textbook. It's a living document. And if you believe God's word is profitable to you, it will make a difference in your life. Paul wrote Timothy, said, all scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. If God's word will provide correction that no one else can. And let me say this real clearly. We need correction, not just affirmation. Affirmations is good, but you have a lot of people that they just want something that's affirming. We need affirming, but we also need correcting. If I'm going down the wrong path, I want to know it. If I'm heading down the wrong direction, I want to know it. And the Bible will correct you, but it won't hurt you. It will just correct you. And it could help you straighten some things out. I'm amazed at how we start off on a high level of woos and we work down to no woos. And yet we need not just affirmation, we need correction. And Psalms, look at this verse, this Psalm, and I'll show you something here. Your testimonies, we can say this, your word is my delight and my counselor. One other thing I've noticed with people is, do you ever run across someone who is just not self-aware? But you realize if you read the scriptures on a regular basis, you will become a self-aware person. God's word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And you can start just to read and you can recognize some things in your own life. You'll go, ooh, that's pride. Or, ooh, I've gotten into bitterness. Or, ooh, I need to make adjustment. James said, the mirror of the word. When you look in the mirror, you're able to go, I did not realize I had something right there in my teeth that I need to get out. Now, it'd be foolish to look in the mirror and realize you have something in your teeth and leave it there. We always have to do a, tooth check before I come down here and talk to you guys. Because I don't want you going, you know, Pastor has something in his teeth the whole night. It was nasty. But the mirror of God's word will show up things in our life. Now listen, God will step on your shoes without ruining your shine. He'll help you and it'll correct you and you won't feel condemned. You might feel convicted, but you're not going to be condemned. And you go, okay, I can make an adjustment there. God's word is my counselors. Not recently, I was going through something, and I mean, I was a little ticked about it. And I know you think, well, and not at Joy. It's hard to get ticked at Joy, but a situation had risen up, and I realized, man, I'm chapped about it. And I sat down and just opened my Bible, began to read, and just as soon as I began to read, insight began to come. It's like, okay, yeah, that's what I need to do. I need to bless instead of revile. Not returning reviling for reviling, but blessing. Knowing that I'm called to this, that I would inherit a blessing. This is Peter. And as I was reading that, I went, yeah, that's it. I need to bless. I need to commit that to God. What am I doing? God's word was counseling me. What a great counselor. People say, well, I need to go to counsel. Listen, you've got a counselor also living on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit is a counselor, and he'll use the scriptures, and he will counsel you, and won't cost you anything. Free. Yeah, you should have moved that. That's free. And it helps you. It lifts you. It doesn't put you down. Now, I'm going to read you a passage out of talking about how God's word can counsel you. Because a lot of times people go, you know, they read the Bible and they're like, they kind of have a take it or leave it attitude about the Bible. You don't want to have a take it or attitude, leave it. This is how you grow. This is what feeds you. This is what helps you. This is what strengthens you. This is what gives insight into you. This will give you wisdom way beyond your years. Now, there's a story here in 2 Chronicles. I'm going to read, let's read the story. 2 Chronicles. Uzziah was a king. And he provided the entire army, he was the king of Judah, provided the entire army with shields, spears, helmets, armor, bows, and sling stones. He made skillful design devices in Jerusalem to shoot arrows and catapult large stones for use on the towers and on the corners. Say, well, so what? Well, let's keep reading. So his fame spread even to distant places, and this is what I want you to see. He was wondrously helped until he became strong. Keep reading. But when he became strong, he grew arrogant, and it led to his own destruction. He acted unfaithfully against the Lord his God by going into the Lord's sanctuary to burn incense on the incense altar. Kings weren't supposed to do that. Only the priests were supposed to do that. The priest Azariah, along with 80 brave priests of the Lord, went in after him. They took their stand against King Uzziah. They said, Uzziah, you have no right to offer incense to the Lord. Only the consecrated priests, the descendants of Aaron, have the right to offer incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you've acted unfaithfully. You will not receive honor from the Lord. That's confrontive. Uzziah, with the fire pan in his hand to offer incense, was enraged. But when he became enraged with the priest in the presence of the Lord's temple beside the altar of the incense, a skin disease broke out in his forehead. That's CSB. It was leprosy. You say, okay, Alan, that's an interesting story. What in the world can I learn from that? We can learn a lot of things. Here's the first thing. We are most helped when we depend on God. That's when the help comes. It said he was marvelously helped, wonderfully helped, until he became strong. Do you know when you have to be the most careful in your walk with the Lord? When everything is going good. When you're like, I got this. Whenever you like, I got this, Lord. Don't need to pray, I got this. Don't need church, I got this. Yeah, I went. Easter, I went. I got this. When we lose dependence is when we lose strength. Because how many of you know that when you went through a hard time and you needed help from the Lord is when you got help? And when you're like, Lord, I need you. We always need him. Second thing, when we think we've got this is when we get prideful. Pride puts us in a bad position. I got this is not a good place to be. And a key indicator of pride is anger when someone tells you the truth. But see, just from that little story, we can learn something. I don't ever want to get to the place where I don't feel like I need the Lord. If I do get to that place, what I've become is prideful. Pride goes before a what? A fall. And how do I know I'm prideful? Well, no one can talk to you without you getting angry and blowing up. James says, in James, the third chapter, he said, the wisdom from above is pure and peaceable. If I can find James. He said, the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So when Uzziah got angry, that's pride. That's not wisdom from God. But that whole list right there just tells us what God's wisdom is like. You know, sometimes Joy would say something to me, and I'm like, I'd bow up. I'm like, nuh-uh. Well, there's no wisdom of God in that. Wisdom of God's willing to yield. Say, hey, you might want to think about this. Instead of going, well, I know what I know. You and Uzziah. But God's Word, do you see what God's Word can do? It can give us a story, and inside that story, there's wisdom. We can see what pride does. We can see how pride acts. We can see how not to get there. You follow that? God's Word, when you read it, it will begin to teach you. There's lessons there that, listen, you can learn from experience or you can learn from somebody else's experience. And I'd much rather learn from someone else's experience. Amen. Because it's a lot less painful. And so you learn from these things. So treating the Word of God, God's Word will prosper you internally. It feeds your spirit. Psalms 1st chapter. His delights in the law of the Lord, in His law He meditates or thinks about day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but all of a sudden we are hearing more and more and more people talk about neuroplasticity, about how we can change our brains. They're finding out that the brain is something that can... We used to think for years it was fixed, that you were fixed by a certain age. And what we're finding out now is, no, you can actually rewire your brain. And you can rewire to not to look for problems, not to be negative. You can rewire it. As a Wascoey Wabbit, we can rewire. It'll change how you think. It'll change your mind. It'll change how you think. But God's Word is the most effective. A neuroscience will tell you that you can take a thought, you can write it down, you can read it over and again at night, do it at night, they say, because that's when your brain is most amenable to change. And so you can write a thought, I am a positive person. Now, this is what neuroscience will tell you. But we can add something to that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can add, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And now we're not just adding thoughts we came up with. We're adding God's thoughts about us. And God's thoughts about us are stronger than anybody else's thoughts. And it will actually begin to change how you think. I'm not saying it is the only path. But God's Word and God's way is the most effective path out of mental problems. I believe it's the most effective. You say, is it the only thing out? No, listen. And if you're dealing with medication or you're taking medication and medication will help you, then keep taking your medication. But add to it God's Word, which works in the spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm, it can make a difference. Listen, the spiritual realm and medicine do not oppose one another. I've heard people say, well, either you know, it's all spiritual or it's all medicine. No, listen. If you need medicine, take it, for Pete's sake. Take it. Listen, when I have a headache, I take Advil. Woo! I'm still going to believe. I'm still going to trust God. But Advil doesn't work against God's word, and God's word doesn't work against Advil. Do what you can do to help yourself get to a strong place, but stay with God's word, because in the long run, that's going to be the most effective. It is a path. People say, well, you know, you guys are the only... No, you're saying it's the only path. I'm not saying it's the only path. I'm saying this is a path, but it's a very effective path. And if you'll stay with it, because the neuroscience will tell you, you got to change your thoughts. You have to intentionally change your thoughts. And we're saying yes. And so we're using God's word to change how we think. This will prosper us internally. There's a great verse in 3 John. It's not on the screen. They said, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, people have taken that and they've really keyed in on the prosper. God wants us to prosper. He wants us to prosper. The key is that we prosper even as our soul prospers. That's our inward man. We have to focus on prospering on the inside before we prosper on the outside. As you get stronger on the inside and you begin to change the way you think and you begin to change the way you operate, you will prosper in your relationships. You will prosper in your business. You will prosper. Yeah, God wants you to prosper, not at the expense of your inner man, but by feeding your inner man and getting stronger there. And God's word will do that. And God's word will help you with that. So you've got to give a high valuation to God's word. That's a great starting place. Because people say, well, if you kind of have a take it or leave it attitude about God's word, you're never going to see the benefits that you can get from it. I know over the years when I first came back to the Lord, I was in outside sales, and so I was in my car all the time. And man, I had Christian radio on, and there was some stations that had Christian teachers on during the 80s. And I just listened to teaching. I listened to messages. Well, today, man, you can download stuff. You can download messages. You can download our messages. You got devotionals. There's input that you can put in yourself on a continual basis that will help you. Amen. And it will literally help you if you listen to things that are building you up on the inside. Amen. Things that are making a difference. Looks like you don't mind if I stay on this for just a little bit. Not tonight. We're going to let you go tonight. But because I want to talk about just some other things. I want to talk about that believing that God is good and will help you. And I also want to talk about learning to get back up again. Staying with the Lord, a lot of times you're going to have to get up again. That you've fallen, you've sinned, you made a mistake, you went the direction you shouldn't have gone. What do you do? And the good news is, you can always get back up again. The good news is you can always receive forgiveness. The good news is God is not the one keeping you down. He is the one trying to help you get up. It's not the Holy Spirit condemning you. It's the Holy Spirit prompting you and comforting you and trying to get you to a place where you get up again. And so I've thought oftentimes that when I've been down the most, I've finally gotten back up, it's been my own footprints on my own back that have kept me down. It's the self-condemnation and stuff, so we want to talk about how to get rid of that. Would you bow your heads with me just for a second? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here this evening and you say, you know what, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord, or I'm not sure. Or maybe you're saying, Alan, I'm where you were. I had a relationship with the Lord and I've gotten away from Him and I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. We're not going to have you stand up. Not going to have you come down here to the front. But right where you are, it's your opportunity, and we'll pray for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If that's you that I'm talking to, will you just simply say, Alan, that's me. Would you slip up your hand? Okay, guys, hang tight. Is our medical team there? Matt, you want to fill me in? She has a medical condition.
She has recurring seizures.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We got a great medical team on her. She has recurring seizures. And so there's a medical team working with her. We're going to pray. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, for your peace. Thank you, Father, for your peace and for relief from these seizures in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. If you're here, though, and you say, you know, Alan, I don't know the Lord, but I need to know him, or I need to come back. I want to say a prayer for you. They'll take care of her, but right now, let's take care of you. If that's you that I'm talking to, and you say, I need to know the Lord or come back to the Lord, if you slip your hand up real quick, we'll just wave it at me. Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Thanks. We're going to pray this prayer out loud. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Heavenly Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer here and online. Thank you for what you're doing in their lives. We rejoice with them. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for the future they have in you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.